Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a special episode for you guys with the one and only Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. She's got a new book out called Checking In, and it's all about mental health and her experiences with depression. Super fascinating, and you guys know I love any chance I get on this show to talk about mental health, specifically the intersection with pop culture. And that's why I found this conversation with Michelle so fascinating, because we got into some of the Destiny's Child stuff. But then we also got to talk about depression, anxiety, and I've shared on this show my experiences. I had one very severe bout of depression, but depression and anxiety is something that I've had to live with for years and years and years now. And I know I've probably exhausted you guys telling that story about one specific month in my life where I was especially depressed. And it's really interesting, because even if you get a handle on it, I do think it's something you have to be cognizant of. And everybody's experiences are different. I would like to encourage everyone to talk to a professional if you can. And I just do want to remind everyone that, again, everyone's experiences are different. So Michelle and I talked a little bit about our experiences. I also want to just give a little trigger warning that we get into some of these hot topics in terms of mental health. And in my experience, you do learn the tools to cohabitate with the anxiety and depression, but you always have to be aware of your surroundings and your emotions and feelings. And recently, even just a few weeks ago, I had a moment where I was laying in bed at night, laying in bed at night, and I started to feel my head sort of go back to that place where I mentioned it was for that 1 month of time where I couldn't get out of bed. I was having hallucinations. It was a really tough time for me. And I noticed my head getting back there just very briefly, and it didn't last very long, and I'm all good. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I'm good now. But it's something that I'm so acutely aware of now, and I know I need to get into my toolbox and do all those things that I do, whether it be talking to my therapist or journaling, meditating, all of those things I need to keep up on, eating healthy, exercising. It's like I got to hop into that toolbox, do my Headspace meditation app, and take charge of that feeling in my head, because I know how quickly it can spiral, and oftentimes you just can't control it. It's not something that anyone I think ever has full control over. But I just wanted to share that it's something that pops up from time to time with me. And I'm very happy and fortunate that I've learned some of the tools to combat that. But it still doesn't mean it doesn't pop its or rear its ugly head every once in a while. Do you know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm saying. Ladies, am I right? Anyway, I want to share my conversation with Michelle Williams. I hope you'll check out her book, Checking In. And I hope you guys enjoy. We'll be back later this week with recaps of the Real Housewives shows. I also want to tell everyone that I interviewed Garcelle from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last week. If you haven't heard that interview, I hope you'll check it out. It was a really wonderful conversation with Garcelle. We have merch available at everythingiconic.store. So with all of that said, please enjoy my chat with Michelle Williams. I'm here with the one and only Michelle Williams. Michelle, I'm a little bit nervous to talk to you. I'm excited, nervous.
Why?
I've been a fan of yours forever. I mean, I'm just, I feel like I grew up with you. And then I read your book, Checking In, and I just loved it so much. And I don't know, I just love you. So how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I am in rainy Washington, D.C.
Well, all right. I miss the rain. I'm in L.A. and it's. I feel like we never get rain here.
You never get rain.
I know. Michelle, I want to talk about Checking In. You open up a lot about your mental health, and I always love talking about mental health stuff on this show. I find it fascinating. I've had my own struggles with anxiety and depression. But I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about opening up about that stuff, because it's not for everyone. A lot of people have a hard time sharing their own stories.
That's a good question. I literally was looking over some things for a presentation, and the first time I was publicly speaking about it was in 2013, and that was kind of by accident. I was doing an article, an interview, with a journalist, and I thought it was supposed to be in print. And somehow people picked up on the story when I was like, hey, I've had my issues with depression as well. That was way back in 2013. And I think I ended up doing the Today Show or something, I think on like in January of 2013, kind of on a bigger platform discussing it. And the reason why I started to discuss it was because after that interview on that platform, it was men. It was two men who pulled me to the side and thanked me for being honest about depression and how it inspired them. I mean, these guys had tears in their eyes because men really don't really discuss, the majority do not discuss depression or mental health, period. Okay. And so I said, you know what? If given the opportunity, I will discuss this any chance I get. Not knowing it was going to turn into 8 long years of discussing mental health.
It's so helpful to hear your story, and so many people can relate. I wonder, I had a specific instance. My depression lasted for about a month. The severity, my very severe depression lasted about a month. But I remember sort of one particular day that I've talked about on the show where it was kind of my low point. And I wonder, did you have like one specific instance that was a low point? Was it something that was over time? What can you share with our listeners about your experience?
So the symptoms of depression began to start with me back in the 7th grade. So whatever age that is, I would say periods of time through college and then through my earlier stint in Destiny's Child. And then I would say again in about 2012-ish was when it was like really, really severe. The couldn't get out of bed, just feeling like, now I love weighted blankets, but it just felt like my soul had a weighted blanket on in my heart. Just everything was weighted. And then again, I would say in 2018, but in 2018, I really got a hold of it and said, you know what? No more. To the point where you are having the thoughts of suicide, to where you can't get out of bed. It's like I had to grab it by its throat. Like, no more. You're not going to have any control over me anymore.
Right. I always feel like talking about it, you get a little more control every time you, for me at least, every time I tell a little story about it or my experience, I feel like I grab it a little bit harder and I have more control.
Yeah.
You mentioned Destiny's Child, and I think nowadays we're looking back, particularly on the early aughts and how we treated performers, both the media and consumers. And I think we're learning a lot. Specifically, there was a documentary about Britney Spears where I think a lot of people look back on the way she was treated. I wonder if you have any, if you're able to look back on the pop music industry and have any reflections on the way that you and all of these other pop stars were treated at that time, and did it have any effect on your mental health, or do you feel like it was a separate scenario? Does that make sense?
For me, it was a separate scenario. Like I said, my depression started way before being on a pop music scene, and thank God we came up in an era before social media. The only things I think we had to deal with was when doing in-person interviews, or sometimes the interviewer would try to say sly things and, you know, be disrespectful, you know, but then the publicist would step in and kind of tell them off. I love our publicist. She's amazing. And our manager, you know, Destiny's Child's manager, Matthew knows, Tina knows. I mean, we were kind of sheltered where we had other people to do the dirty work. Like, you will not be disrespectful. You will not talk crazy to these girls. Well, there were maybe a few blatant things, but I would say to the level of like other actors or musicians who got it, like, I mean, slammed to where you almost, people that were even talented who made a mistake, it's like people wanted to focus on the mistake they made instead of giving grace, as if it was on your own child. Right.
You know, faith is such a large part of your book. And I wonder, how has faith helped you get through your mental health stuff? And also, has there been a point where you might have lost faith and had to regain it?
You know, faith has been my foundation. I think, if it had not been for my faith, that was the last thing that I had to hold on to. You know, if I didn't have faith, we wouldn't be having this discussion today. I'd be gone. I know that for a fact. I can't say that I lost my faith, but I felt like going through depression and other things, I felt like I had to hide. I had to, like, God can't possibly love me. God can't, he doesn't see me. Like, so it was me kind of hiding from it, but it was always there.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by that. My grandma was a very faith-based person, and I was raised Catholic, but I've sort of, I no longer consider myself very religious, but I almost envy that in people like my grandmother, how she was, because I saw how much that got her through things. And
by the way, you don't have to ascribe to a particular religion. So you have people who are born, who are raised Catholic. I was raised Pentecostal. There are people who are raised Baptist. Those are various forms of religions. Okay. But you can ascribe to how you decide to have a connection with God. And it doesn't have to be in the four walls of a church. I just want to tell you that, like, you can have a relationship with God in your home. And guess what? All of us who went to church, we were forced to figure out what our connection to God would be because we couldn't go to church for a whole year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you were kind of really tested as well on your faith and what you really believe. Because if your faith is determined on just Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you treat people like crap. Your religion is performance-based, just to look good on Sunday.
Yes.
Instead, God looks at the individual, and he does not, some people might say she does not care, does not care necessarily about your performance on Sunday. God does care about us being in fellowship and maybe every now and then with other people who share the same faith. But I want to encourage you, Danny, like, don't be like, I don't ascribe to a religion, but I want you to ascribe to relationships.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it. I don't even know exactly where I stand these days. Like I said, I do believe in a higher power, and I do believe in subscribing to, you know, loving thy neighbor and these basic principles. So. Yeah.
Those basic principles are in so many cultures and faiths.
I'm closest to God too, Michelle, when I'm listening to Say Yes by you.
Yes!
That song gets stuck in my head. And I swear that's when I'm most religious in my home, is because I will listen to that over and over again. It's so good.
But I want you to get that word out your head.
Right.
Religious.
I know.
Because that could be a wall. That could be a block just from having relationship and being spiritual. Religious is performance-based.
I think when I came out, I think I sort of it made me sort of question everything. And I never quite got back on a track that made sense to me.
Yeah, I understand. And I didn't mean to go out with you, but I was like, I want you to, and others listening, to like focus on the relationship, like how we focus on relationship with others, you know, with our family and friends. I just want you to focus on that, because you're not in relationship with other people that make you feel like you're performing, right?
Right.
So don't let your spirituality make you feel like you have to perform. Well, if I do this, I'll get love. If I do this, I'll get blessed. If I do this, it's not like
And
that
I think
at all.
That's where the disconnect comes for me with that, because I was raised going to Catholic grade school, so it was so performative. It was like, we have to do this on this day, and we have to do the Blessed Sacrament this week, and this, and whatever. And yeah, it was just forced at an early age, and I feel like I never.
And I want to know what happened during the pandemic with people that did all that.
Yeah, they just stopped going, and I wonder if they ever took a moment to really check in.
Yeah, in your home. Yeah, check in. Were you able to just check in with God in the shower?
I,
while you're curling your hair.
Again, though, Destiny's Child is a higher power to me, Michelle. So I do. Michelle, though, I got to ask you, in the book, you talk about Destiny's Child, Beyonce and Kelly never knowing about your depression. And I wonder, why do you think that we hide those feelings to people that are closest to us? I mean, I know my answer to that, but I'm curious what you think.
I didn't have time. It was like, girl, we on a moving train. We ain't got time to be talking about at that time. You know, I didn't even have time for like artist development, media coaching. I literally was learning as I go.
God.
As I was going.
And the group was already so successful. I imagine what a mind fuck that must have been. Like,
the group was already killing it and, you know, on its way. And then I just felt like, as long as it was a whirlwind, as long as I was constantly busy, I didn't have time to even realize I was really depressed.
Right.
There are times we were in 2 and 3 countries in one day, thanks to a private jet. Like, can you imagine up, down? Okay, train here. You're in a train in Europe. You got to take the train in here to get to Paris. You got to do hair, makeup, interviews from sun up to sundown. So I can't remember. There was the time where I walked into an office in Sony and disclosed that I was like, I think I'm, you know, depressed. And they were like, well, you can't possibly be depressed. I mean, look at all the good things going. You know, y'all got some good things going. And so I was like, well, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I'm homesick. And I was tired right. and homesick mm-hmm. too. But I just don't ever feel like I really didn't start working intentionally on my depression really until I got the diagnosis in my 30s. But as far as like really like taking time off to do the work really wasn't until 2018 when I was forced to.
Let's take a quick break here and then we'll come back with more from Michelle Williams. Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area. And within our budget, the Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. You know, you mentioned social media earlier and how it would have been a a bad thing if it was around during Destiny's Child. What's your relationship with social media like now? And also, before you even answer, I have to tell you that my mother and I got in a huge fight, one of our biggest fights, because I posted a meme on Easter Sunday, but it was you at the Super Bowl coming up from the ground, you know, when that gif of you coming up.
Yeah,
and I said, it said Jesus on Easter. And my mom thought that was blasphemous.
Oh, it was kind of like him rising, right? Was it kind of like that thing? Oh, no.
I thought it was really funny, but my mom was like, she doesn't really understand like meme culture, or
she didn't like it at all.
But we got over it. We got through it.
I'm sorry.
What's your relationship with social media like these days, though?
You know what? Relationship with social media is the great thing about social media. You can curate who you follow. You can now even curate, you know, what comes across your feed. You can filter certain words and so that you don't ever see it. To me, that's a beautiful thing about social media. The other beautiful thing about social media is that I get to engage people who come to my page that leave thoughtful comments or even have a question. And they appreciate the engagement when I respond back. I appreciate when somebody was like, oh my gosh, Michelle, I'm reading chapter 9, honey, and you are all up in my business. I love that. That's the part I do love.
Right.
About social media, you know, I think that's what it was created for originally. But at the same time, social media does bring attention to situations and people that need to be held accountable for stuff too. Right. So I'll say that to social media as well, because we wouldn't know about half. There is certain movements that were created based off of one social media post about an injustice, right, or people being treated unfairly because of what color they are, who they choose to love. That's been the beautiful thing about social media, is movements have been birthed by somebody's post.
I hope over time we're able to balance all that good with a lot of the bad. And
do you think there's more bad in social media than good?
I don't know.
What are your thoughts on that?
I do think there's a lot of bad on social media, but like you said, you know, I've built a career up because of social media. I mean, this show, I wouldn't be successful if I didn't have the power of social media, because I never had, it's an independent show. So I grew through social media. So I wouldn't have this career I have now if it weren't for that. But I do see a lot of negativity on it, and the way people treat specifically star. I mean, I have had so many people on my show, and I see the way that people write to them on Instagram or Twitter, and it's mean and it's below the belt. And it's
kind of crazy that people think, well, because I wonder, would you say that thing to the to them in person?
I think they don't think you guys can see it. Like, I think that there's still almost like a wall up that celebrities don't see all the comments, but I know that they do. Maybe they miss a few here and there, but I do think
you definitely might miss a few.
Yeah, you see a lot though.
You can. Now I'm tagged in a lot of other pages that post stuff. So if I was to go to that page, I'm like, don't read the comments. Because I have curated my page enough to where I'm like, even if you type something to me, I'm not going to see it.
Do you get tagged in a lot of the other Michelle Williams stuff? I feel like you must.
It depends around award show time, but she doesn't have pages.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Most of the pages she has are fan created type pages. But when it's award show time, oh my
God. She's always in the awards too. Every time she's got a movie.
I have been Louis Vuitton, Cosmo, British Vogue. I'm like, y'all, and they'll at me. And I'm like, who is running y'all social media who don't see that this is a Black girl in this profile pic?
Oh, I love that.
I need them to figure that out.
Michelle, I got to ask you some pop culture questions, because there's a lot of things one of the things I've always wanted to ask you is, speaking of social media, a video that goes around all the time of you and Kelly and Beyonce, and the interviewer asks you, what's your spirit animal or what animal would you be? And people think that you guys were high in the video.
Oh my God, we were not. I promise, hand on Bible. I need this part to go viral again.
Oh, let's make it happen.
My hand is on Bible. I'm in Judge Judy's courtroom. I am in the Supreme Court testifying, hand up, sworn statement. We were not high. We were so delirious to the point where we were like, at this point, we don't care how this interview goes. We're tired. We were done. We were done. That was part of that whirlwind travel schedule that I was telling you about, where we're up starting interviews at 7 a.m. and at 9 p.m. we're still talking. So by that time, we were like, listen, we like whales and grapes and panthers and, you know, that's what we
it's
like.
It's such a funny clip, but it resurfaces all the time. And it always, every time makes me laugh.
Surfaces all the time. And people swear up and down. They're like, ooh, they were smoking that good, good. Ooh, and y'all were in Amsterdam. Like, bruh. First of all, management would kill us. We could not drink or do drugs. That was just a part of our work ethic that's just something that we did not do. And I'm sorry to break it to people. It's not that we're bougie or goody two shoes. This just wasn't our thing.
Oh, it's a historical clip.
It is, but we weren't high. Now,
there's
at
also
all.
A clip that goes around from after the Super Bowl performance. I think it was Beyonce said something about like Gone with the Wind, Fabulous. And I talk a lot about Housewives. I've had tons of Housewives on the show. Do you watch any Housewives? Was that a Kenya Moore reference? Do you know?
It could have been. I'm sure, because wasn't Kenya Moore was the first to say right. that?
She was think, the one who kind know. Of coined that phrase, Gone with the Wind.
Who coined that phrase? Yeah, so I would say I watch a lot of the Housewives shows, especially when, you know, it's nearing the end of the season and it's getting juicy. I try to watch the reunions because on the reunions, you get like, you pretty much, they'll tell you about the whole season.
Right, what you get happened. The catch
up. You know.
You Did you know Heather yeah. Halla Thompson?
Heather Thompson.
She's from New York. And I think she
yes!
worked with Destiny's Child.
She worked for Miss Tina. Yeah. Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. She worked for House
and
of Dario.
Do you remember anything about how she was to work with?
Now, I don't know if this is a trap question, but Heather is my... As far as I know, my interaction has been pleasant. I mean... I don't even know a lot about that franchise of Housewives. So if I'm setting myself up in a question, I don't know.
I just saw a picture of you with and Beyonce and Kelly with Heather. And I always wondered, like, what was the relationship
yeah.
there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a secret Destiny Child album waiting to drop?
It wouldn't be a secret then.
We need it, Michelle. Like, can if we I just were... get it? Like, I want it so bad.
I'll let them know, hey, Danny and Matt said, what's going on? I'll tell them.
I mean,
I'll
know ask. You're all busy, but I need it like really bad.
I will ask.
Okay.
Okay. Why do you need it
because
so bad?
Because it's so, you guys make fun going out music. And I feel like now more than ever, we need that sort of vibe. It's missing a little bit.
You got
and
it.
I mean, you guys are the best girl group of all time. I mean, fantastic. What's your favorite? Did you have a favorite song to perform out of all of them?
I think I love Soldier. I love Say My Name, even though I'm not even singing. I wasn't even in the group when Say My Name was recorded. I love performing that song.
That's good.
And I like our more soulful, like Girl, Free, and If from the Destiny Fulfilled album.
When I hear Lose My Breath, I change into a new human being. It's like I walk differently. I just feel like I'm a different human in the best way.
New human in the best way.
I know I don't have much more time with you, but real quickly, I ask all of my guests this. We'll do a little lightning round, actually, because I got a few. Your favorite Mariah Carey song, and if you were choosing People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
Mariah Carey. OMG. She worked with someone, a producer from my hometown, who sadly passed away. Gosh, I love him.
Mariah's my number one.
Thank God I found you. Ooh, touch my body. I can go on and on. Okay, but it's my favorite.
That Thank God I Found You remix, the Nas remix, is amazing.
No, she's incredible. I'm looking at the title because I want to get the correct song. It's a gospel. Fly like a bird.
Like a bird. Oh my God.
But no one can whistle tone.
No.
you know, no one can whistle. And when you think of just her in the beginning, I mean, Vision of Love, honey, the hair, y'all, everybody was like, who is this woman? Because I'm gonna be honest, when Whitney Houston was singing, you like, there's nobody. There's nobody. Mm-hmm. There's nobody else. There's nobody else but Whitney and Mariah. Their voices.
Then there was nothing like when they came together for the Prince of Egypt soundtrack. I mean, it was just like, I remember they performed it on Oprah, and it was like, as a kid, it was appointment TV to just see them, the two of them performing together. Yes. Really, I think like right around the height of everything. It was just everything.
Wow. Why am I looking at all her songs? Mariah's got catalog. Always be my baby. Like, come on. So what would be your favorite?
My all-time favorite is Forever. It's off the Daydream album. It's a big ballad, and I like it. It's a very stereotypical ballad, but I have a... It reminds me of this moment with my boyfriend, and so that it has like special meaning. But other than that, I do like... I'd say The Roof and Breakdown are probably like right up there.
Goodness gracious. I mean, she's got like a crazy catalog. Yeah,
and she writes all of them too, so it's like...
An Endless Coin. It's what she'll always have because she writes all her songs. Endless Coins.
She could live off that Christmas song. Like she just all I want for Christmas. I feel like that'd be enough to like live a comfortable life your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you were choosing People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose?
I don't know who's hot right now. Oh my gosh. The young man from Bridgerton.
Oh, yes.
Regé Jean Page. Yes,
he's gorgeous. Okay, yes. favorite Beyoncé song, favorite Kelly song?
Favorite Beyoncé song. When Beyoncé sings Me, Myself, and I in Halo, she takes me to church. Kelly also has a song called In Love with My Ex that I think is amazing.
Michelle, I feel like I could talk to you forever. I know I got to let you go. Is there any like a bit of advice? Of course, I want everyone to check out your book, Checking In. I thought it was so powerful, wonderful, great read. Very important, like in a weird way. Not a weird way. I just think it's important for people to read about other people's mental health experiences because you won't feel so alone for what you're going through. And it'll help. I also think people reading it will help them open up a dialogue in their own life just by hearing the dialogue in the book. So everyone needs to check out Checking In. Michelle, any advice you would give to listeners as you go about dealing with their own mental health? Or I know everyone's experiences are different, but what can you share?
Oh, that's so good. Thank you for definitely saying, like you said, everyone's experiences are different and don't have any shame about your experiences or what you're feeling. Sometimes it's just good to have a listening ear to help you process things. And I would encourage folks, if you can, invest in a therapist. It is an amazing investment. You might not feel like you will feel the effects from like, say, the first session. But the more sessions you go to, it will work for you long term. If you're wondering why you just can't hold relationships, your job after job, even if it's just a little coaching that you might need, is because nothing is wrong with you. Sometimes we just have areas that we're like, man, because of trauma and pain and wounds that did not heal, you know, it's causing some problems. So I would just encourage people, like you said, yes, our experiences are different, but don't have any shame about seeking help, seeking someone that I just call it processing stuff with. That's all it is. Right.
Michelle, thank you so much. I love you. And I thank you for taking the time. This was such a pleasure. And thank you for all of the entertainment over the years. And we need the Destiny's Child album.
Absolutely. Okay. You know what? I'm going to see the girls next week. So I'm going to ask them. I'm going to say, yo, now I done about 85,000 interviews and 84,999 of these interviews are asking what is going on.
We know you're all busy, but we love you all so much that.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yes,
thanks, Michelle. Sending all my love.
All right, Daddy. You too, darling. Bye.